So, we're reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam, 10th canto, entitled the Summum Bonum, 6th chapter, text number 41, which is a very important shloka for several reasons, which I will explain during the discourse. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Narayanam namaskritya naram chaiva narottamam devim sarasvatim vyasam tato jayo mudirayet nashta praye svabhadreshu nityam bhagavata sevaya Bhagavat Yuttama Shloke Bhaktir Bhavati Naishtike Om Agyanta Mirandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshur Unmilitam Yena Tasmai Sri Gurve Namaha Mukam karoti vachalam Pangum langhayate girim Yat kripatam aham vande Sigurundi notarinam Vanchakalpatrubhyascha Kipasindubhya evacha Patitanang pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo namo namaha Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhara Shivas Adi Gaura Bhakti Vrinda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Text number 41. Katadjadumasya Saurabhyam Avagraya Vajokashaha Kim Idam Kuta Eveti Vadantu Vrajam Ayayu Katadumasya, of the smoke emanating from the fire, burning the different parts of Putana's body. Sodabhyam, the fragrance. Avagraya, when they smelled through their nostrils. Vrajaokasa, the inhabitants of Vrajabhumi in distant places. Kim idam, what is this fragrance? Kuta, where does it come from? Eva, Indeed. Iti. In this way. Vedanta. Speaking. Vrajam. The place of Nanda Maharaj. Vrajabhumi. Ayayu. Reached. Translation by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Upon smelling the fragrance of the smoke emanating from Putana's burning body, many inhabitants of Vrajabhumi in distant places were astonished. "Where is this fragrance coming from?" they asked. Thus they went to the spot where Putana's body was being burnt. Srila Prabhupada's purport. The aroma of the smoke emanating from a burning fire is not always very favorable. Therefore, upon smelling such a wonderful fragrance, the inhabitants of Vraja were astonished. So we would assume that because Putana was such a demon, that when she was killed and her body was cut up into different pieces and then burnt, that there would have been a horrible fragrance. And that's why some of the Vrajabhumis, they went to a distance because they didn't want to smell that. But then it turned out that it was very fragrant. They were astonished. How is this? So we're going to discuss how this came about. Because our normal logic and reasoning would say that we would expect a horrible fragrance coming from that body. Putana was the greatest of all demons. Why was she the greatest of all demons? Because she took the form of the most intimate protector of every child, the mother. Every child is protected by the mother. Srila Prabhupada was protected by his mother. Arjuna and Bhima were protected by their mother. Even Hiranyakashipu and Ravana was protected by their mother. So the mother is so important in the early stages of life for protection, for love, for education, for training, for teaching. And that's why it is said that the mother is the first guru of every living entity, especially Vaishnavi mothers, because they're teaching about Krishna. But even the non-devotee mothers, they may not be teaching about Krishna, but maybe they are teaching about some God, which is a Christian concept, or Lord Jesus. Or even if they're atheists, at least they're protecting their children. And we all know that a mother is so protective of her children, she would run out in front of a car, risking her own life to save the life of a child. So Putana took the form of a beautiful young Vedic mother, even though she was the greatest demon. Why was she the greatest demon? Because she naturally and normally loved to kill children. The most innocent, helpless of all living entities, she would go after them. So demoniac. I mean, even Hiranyakashipu and Ravana, or Hiranyaksha, they would fight their peers, more or less, although Vishnu was no one's peer, but at least they thought. But who can even talk about how degraded and how corrupt and how demoniac was Putana? So she came in disguise with an ulterior motive. She presented herself as someone who wanted to help the child, baby Krishna. But actually, she wanted to kill the child. It's kind of like if we look at world governments and politicians, they're always saying, "Vote for me and it'll be the best benefit for you. I'll be working for you." But they're only working for themselves. Whatever is the best benefit for them. This is the mentality of a demoniac and personality, that they'll say the exact opposite of what is the fact. So although they're saying, "Oh, I'm working for your benefit," actually they're working for their own benefit. When was the last time you trusted your government when they said something. Nobody. So here she comes, taking on the form of a beautiful young Vedic mother. So obviously she had Shakti. These demons had Shakti. They didn't have any Bhakti, but they did have Shakti. So when the inhabitants of Brajabhumi saw this beautiful woman, they naturally assumed that she was coming for some favorable reason. And so she came to the home of Yashoda and Nanda, knocked on the door. Yashoda Mayi answered, holding baby Gopal. And Putana said, "Oh, Mother Yashoda, you're so fortunate. Of all the children in the world, you got the most exalted child. What pious activities did you perform in a previous life to get such a benediction?" She said, "I am bereft of children. My life is a complete failure. But if I could just hold your little Gopal for just 1 minute, my life would become a success." So in this way, she's presenting something very nice to Mother Yashoda. She's glorifying her. "And I'm so fallen, but if I hold your exalted son for just 1 second, then my life is successful." So naturally, Mother Yashoda was thinking, such a nice lady. So this is the thing, that the demons, they present themselves as being very nice, but they have ulterior motives. And the devotee has to understand the difference between someone who's coming and faking devotion and the real devotion. We can't be fooled by the fake devotion. And we've seen it in ISKCON. People come, they're so devotional, and then after a few years, they run off with some money from the treasury. They have gone with money. It's happened in so many temples. Therefore, in Bengali, there's a saying, "Ati bhakti chore lakon." Too much devotion is a symptom of a thief. We should expect normal devotion, but too much devotion, we better be careful. It's a symptom of a thief. So we have to be on our guard. We can't trust anyone and everyone blindly. Devotees are not blind. But Mother Yashoda and Nanda Maharaj were so innocent. They're living in Gokul, such a holy place. And this woman, Putana, who's presenting herself as a very lovely young Vedic woman, kind of distracted Mother Yashoda. And she was thinking, "Well, what is the harm? I just let her hold Gopal for 1 or 2 seconds and then take him back." But we all know that Putana had smeared her breast with poison. And what did she want to do? She wanted to put the child to her breast and kill the child. Mother Yashoda wasn't aware of this. So she handed the child over. So Putana was thinking, now I will be successful. Now, of course, Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and even when he's acting as a child, a little baby, a toddler. Toddler means he can't even walk yet. He's just going on all fours. So he could understand, "Oh, this demon, she's come here to kill me." But in a very nice lecture on this pastime, Prabhupada said, "But Krishna always takes the bright side. In any situation, Krishna takes the bright side. Now, in any situation, we may not take the bright side. We may take the negative side, not the positive side. But Krishna always takes the positive side." So he was thinking, "Oh, she's approaching me like a mother." There was nothing good about Putana or her intention. But Krishna found something good. This is the quality of Krishna. Even when there's nothing good, he'll find something positive. "Oh, she's approaching me like a mother." So he gave her the benediction. So he sucked out her life air, killed that demoniac personality, and that body turned into a gigantic mess and mass of disgusting material energy. And everyone was astonished. So what happened to Putana? Well, all the Brajavasis, then they saw that she was not actually a lovely young Vedic wife, but was a demon who had come to kill their beloved Gopal. So they went with axes to chop that body up. They were angry. They felt cheated. She cheated us. We'll teach her a lesson. Cut up her body. They were happy to do that. It's called revenge. And then they set those body parts on fire. And they were expecting the most horrible fragrance. But what happened was, it was a wonderful fragrance. And they were astonished. How is this possible? So there's two things that we have to analyze and understand. How is possible in this Putana Lila? Number one, how the fragrance from that demoniac body, so sinful, so full of sinful reactions, had a wonderful fragrance. And two, how Putana went back home, back to Godhead, and was situated as a mother in the spiritual world. This is the mercy of Krishna. As Prabhupada said, Krishna always takes the bright side. So he saw something positive. Oh, she's approaching me as a mother. So he gave her liberation as if she was a mother. She wasn't a mother. She's only acting like a mother, cheating everyone. But Krishna saw the bright side. So we may wonder, how is it that she had so many sinful activities? Yamaraj must have been thinking, okay, now that she's dead, I'm going to really have a field day with this, because this whole book is filled with just the sins of Putana. And yet Krishna gives her liberation. Everyone is astonished. Yamaraj was astonished. Everyone was astonished. And then the fragrance of her body was so nice. Everyone was astonished. It's a wonderful fragrance. They couldn't believe it. So I remember something else that Prabhupada told us. He said, whether Krishna kills you or kisses you, it's the same result. So if Krishna kisses you, you go back to Godhead, your body has a beautiful fragrance, and if he kills you, it's the same. Because Krishna is Satchitananda, he's transcendental. Everything connected to Krishna is Satchitananda, is pure transcendence. Krishna doesn't make these distinctions. He sees everything as pure spirit because he's a controller of pure spirit. We see things in a different way. We don't have the vision of Krishna. To become Krishna conscious has various meanings. One of the meanings is to become conscious of Krishna. That we're always thinking of Krishna, we're always acting for Krishna. But it also means to have a similar consciousness as Krishna, to be as merciful as Krishna, as kind as Krishna. That's the real Vaishnava, because he's the representative of Krishna. If Krishna is the most merciful and I'm not merciful, then how can I say I'm a representative of Krishna? Obviously, I'm not. I'm not presenting his mercy. Also, I cannot even say I'm a follower of Krishna because I have a different opinion than Krishna. So becoming Krishna conscious also means to have the same opinion as Krishna in all things. And we'll never be the loser when we have the same opinion as Krishna, because Krishna will think, oh, how nice, this devotee is just like me. Radharani will give her blessings. Oh, this devotee is just like Krishna. So we may not be glorified in the material world, but if we're glorified in the spiritual realm, then that is our perfection. So because Krishna had killed Putana, it was like he kissed her, so all the sinful reactions were burnt up, gone, dissipated, and a very nice fragrance came out because she had gone back home, back to Godhead. She was now back to Godhead. Her spirit soul instantly was transferred to go back to Godhead. The material demoniac body was still there, because in an instant the spirit soul goes from this realm to that realm. But the material body was still there. People gathered, they got axes, they chopped it all up. So there was a time lag there. When they burnt it, it smelled, it was wonderfully fragrant. So whenever I hear of the killing of the demon Putana, I always think this is one of my most favorable pastimes. Because no matter how degraded I've been, no matter how sinful I've been, no matter how duplicitous I may have been in my many, many lives, I was never at the level of Putana. I was never that bad. None of us are ever as bad as Putana. Our position is much, much more favorable than Putana. And look at how Putana got the mercy of Krishna. So we don't think we're going to get the mercy of Krishna? What kind of doubt is that? And in the Bhagavad Gita, Arjuna has doubts. And after Krishna speaks to him, then Arjuna realizes that these doubts are like demons. And he says, "Oh Madhusudan, you're the killer of the demons. Kill these demons of doubt." So when we have doubts, that's the demoniac mentality that's still in our mind coming birth after birth, life after life. Of course, someone may justify their why I'm not getting the mercy of Krishna because I'm not qualified. But who is qualified? Nobody is qualified. Which Vaishnava do we ever read in Shastra says I'm qualified? Did Rupa and Sanatana say we're qualified? Did Prabhupada say we're qualified? No, even Lord Chaitanya, he didn't say he was qualified. He was searching, where is Krishna? Kotai Krishna, Kotai Krishna, where is Krishna? No one is qualified. So this false idea that, you know, I'm not qualified, it's bogus. No one's qualified. Why even raise such an erroneous argument? And Krishna explains this in 1866 of Bhagavad Gita. Sarvadharman parityaja mamekam shanarambaja. So he says, forget all those other dharmas. In the purport, Prabhupada explains that so far up to now in the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna has explained so many dharmas to Arjuna. And in the purport, Prabhupada says, now Krishna is saying, all those other things I taught you, forget about them. Mam ekam sharanam. Just surrender unto me. This is the summum bonum. Just surrender unto me. That takes care of all the other dharmas. Mam, me, ekam, make me number one. Sharanam, surrender to it. Mam ekam sharanam vraja. Vraja is a very interesting word, because here it relates to the residents of Brajabhumi. So surrender, make me number one in your life, like the residents of Raja, Brajabhumi, like they are doing. That's what he's saying to Arjuna. And there's another meaning to Vraja, because it's the active verb form of the word Vrajana, which means to go on tour, in other words, Tirtha Parikrama. So when you go on Tirtha Parikrama, you're going somewhere. So Krishna is saying, make me number one, surrender to that everywhere you go. So while meditating on that, I realized, or actually Krishna gave me the realization. I shouldn't say it came from me. That would be erroneous. Because whatever realizations come, Krishna gives, as he states in 15:15, sarvasya chaham nirisani vishto matta smritir jnanam. So the realization came that it's not based on qualification, but it's a hung twang sarva pape yo moksha yusyami ma suchaha. Ma suchaha means don't worry. Don't worry means don't have any doubts. So he's addressing Arjuna's doubts from the very beginning, Arjuna's worries. He said, my hand is shaking, the Gandiva bow is slipping from my hand. How can I shoot my friends, my parents, my teachers, my grandfather, my relatives? How can I do it? So he was worried and he had doubts. And he said to Krishna, kill these, slay these doubts. So now Krishna is saying, Masuchaha, give up these doubts. Don't worry. So when I thought about this, when you say to someone, don't have any doubts, what you're really saying to them is, trust me. So Krishna is saying to Arjuna, trust me. Just trust me. And then, a couple of shlokas later, after Arjuna has asked so many questions over the whole course of the Gita, Krishna finally asks one question. And he says to Arjuna, so have you heard my instructions with a calm, peaceful mind? And have you understood, and are you ready to act according to my instruction? That's what he asks. And Arjuna says, yes, I have heard, I understand. Just tell me what to do, I'm surrendered to you. And Prabhupada explained, that is the meaning of Gita. Arjuna's understanding of Gita is everyone's understanding of Gita. He said that so many scholars, pandits, Mahavadi commentators, 5,000 years later, are writing books explaining what the Bhagavad Gita means. They weren't there 5,000 years ago. Now 5,000 years later, they're telling you what Krishna means. But we can see what Krishna means by the reaction of Arjuna, because Arjuna was there. And Krishna asked him, have you understood? Will you trust me? Will you follow? Arjuna says, yes, just tell me what to do. I'm your surrendered servant. That is the meaning of Bhagavad Gita. Nothing else is the meaning of Bhagavad Gita. And this we got from Srila Prabhupada. So we have to have that faith. When Krishna says, trust me, we have to trust Krishna. And when we trust Krishna, we also trust the Shastra. So when Putana went back to Godhead as a mother, we just trust, we have faith that was proper. She got the causeless mercy. Because when we think that I'm not qualified, or maybe someone is qualified, what does it mean? Qualified means that now you have a right to some mercy. You claim, I'm qualified, I'm claiming your mercy, you have to give it to me. Well, this is the eighth offense, this is karmakanda. That I've done this, now I deserve this. It's business. That's why it's an offense. We can't do business with Krishna. So everything we do in devotional service is not for my benefit, because that's karmakanda. We do it to please Krishna, to please Guru, to please Parampara, to please all the Vaishnavas, to please all the residents of the spiritual realm. We do it for their benefit. If I'm doing it for my benefit, then I'm just kind of like a politician. I'm saying, yes, I'm doing this bhakti seva for Krishna, but I'm actually doing it for me. For my benefit. What is my benefit? So I won't have to come back in a horrible situation in the next life, so I'll become free from Maya. So many reasons. So I can go back to Godhead. So I have an ulterior hidden motive. In other words, just like a politician doing business, karmakanda. But when we just surrender and do everything to please Krishna, then Krishna takes care of our benefit. We don't have to think about it. And I always like to raise this point. Who can take better care of my future benefit? Me or Krishna? Krishna. So why don't we let him take care of it? He can do a heck of a lot better than me. So let him take care of it. So here we have to have faith and trust Krishna that Putana got the causeless mercy. You can't cause it. That's why there's no such thing as I'm qualified. Qualified means that now I'm causing the mercy. There's no such thing as qualified or caused mercy. It's all causeless mercy. By his own sweet will, Krishna gives us the mercy, or he doesn't give the mercy. So I live my life according to this Bengali maxim that Prabhupada taught us. Krishna rake mareke. If Krishna is protecting you, who can bring harm to you? No one. Krishna mare rakeke. And if Krishna wants to take away your life, who can protect you? Who can save you? Nobody. Therefore, to become Krishna conscious, we really have to surrender to Krishna. Is it difficult to surrender to Krishna? Well, when we take prasadam, is it difficult to surrender to honoring Mahaprasad? No. Is it difficult surrendering and honor to surrender to take darshan? No. Is it difficult to surrender to the ecstatic kirtan? No. But our mind tries to convince us that it's difficult to surrender on this level or that level or whatever level. And therefore, Arjuna calls these demons of doubt. Our mind is carrying these demons of doubt. Because in Kali Yuga, the demon and the devotee are in the same body. Now in Dwapara Yuga, where Putana had her demoniac pastime, the demon was outside the body. But in our life, our demon is inside the body. We're bringing it along with us through the mind. So we just have to have Shraddha. There's two kinds of faith. There's Shraddha and there's Andhavishwas. Blind faith, Andhavishwas. Blind faith is not very powerful. You can't lead a worldwide movement with blind faith. You actually have to have Shraddha, pure faith, based on realization and based on experience, based on seeing the hand of Krishna in your life moment to moment to moment. How many people have had that experience where you something happens, you say, wow, Krishna's mercy. How many people have had that? So we've seen it. So there's no room for doubt. If we've seen Krishna's mercy, we saw his hand in our life and we still have doubts, then we're the most unfortunate. But the most unfortunate can become the most fortunate simply by that Shraddha, that faith that Arjuna had in the end. He said, yes, now I have understood. Please tell me what to do. I will act accordingly. So we have to be the same. So there's a very wonderful verse that one of my favorite verses in the Gita. Ye yatamam prapajyante tamstitaiva bhajamyaham. As you surrender unto me, I reciprocate accordingly. So this is called the modus operandi of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He's revealing it to us right there in the Gita. How he reciprocates with us. We have to take the first step towards him, and then he reciprocates. If I don't take a first step, yayatamam prapajyante, as you approach me, if we don't approach Krishna, then he thinks, oh, you want to remain independent, so I won't bother you, I won't disturb you. That's why we should always be praying for Krishna, I need your mercy. Please help me. Krishna loves to help. We should always be praying for that help. Now Putana, she didn't pray for that help. She had a demoniac mentality, but somehow Krishna took the bright side. He found something positive in her life. So does anybody here think that there's something positive in our life since we became devotees, started chanting the holy name. Yeah, so where is the question of doubt? We should just go for it. There was a very nice famous song in the 1940s by Cab Calloway, which I like to quote all the time. He said, accentuate the positive, eliminate the negative. That's what we have to do in Krishna consciousness. Accentuate the positive, eliminate the negative. Negative is the doubts. So let's eliminate all the doubts. Accentuate the positive. Realize that we're on the proper path, bhakti yoga. Our position is better than Putana. Millions of times better than Putana. So how can there be any doubt? No one's qualified, so throw that out that I'm not qualified. But I have faith. I have Shraddha. I've seen Krishna's mercy in my life. Now I'm going to just have complete faith in Krishna. Will I be the loser? No. Is there any difficulty? No. Just tweak your mind. That's all. Just a little tweak in the mind. You don't have to do anything. Just, that's it. Shraddha. So, even the inhabitants of Vrajabhumi were astonished that Putana, the fragrance coming from her body was so wonderful, even though she was the greatest demon. They couldn't understand. But by the mercy of the Acharyas and by the mercy of Srila Prabhupada, we can understand. By the mercy of this Srimad Bhagavatam, we can understand. This is why this verse is so important. And if we don't act that we understand, if we don't follow the understanding that Prabhupada has given us, then again we become the most unfortunate. So it's not, throw out this idea of I'm not qualified, no one is qualified, no acharya, no saint, no one in any shastra said I'm qualified. Everyone says I'm das, 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 anur das. Please give me your mercy. That's our mood. Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Any comments or questions? Shruta.
I think it was a very nice perspective. So with Putana, of course, your class was accentuating the positive. You're saying Putana was so much worse than anything we could have done. But on the accentuating the positive side, she's done so much more positively than we can ever do because she fed from her own breast a helpless little baby, which in one sense that type of love, love is greater than anything possible. So what have we done to compare to feeding a young baby? Because Krishna sees the positive in what she's done.
That's
so what have I done?
Yeah. Nothing. That's a very, very wonderful question. And such a question only comes from an advanced devotee. But Prabhupada has answered that. And he gave the example of Kamsa. He said Kamsa was also always thinking of Krishna. But devotional service means favorable devotional service. So Kamsa's always thinking of Krishna was unfavorable. Putana's putting to the breast was unfavorable. It wasn't favorable, it was unfavorable. What we're doing is favorable. We're in a much, much better position than her. She came as a cheater, presenting one thing when it's actually another. We're not presenting ourselves as cheaters. We're presenting ourselves as das, 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 anur das. I'm the most fallen. Please give me your mercy. So our position is much greater than Putana's. She's a cheater, number one. But Krishna gave her the benefit. Causeless mercy. There's nothing she did to get that mercy. It's simply causeless mercy.
So taking prasad, chanting in front of deities, and having festivals, all these things are great, good. Everyone likes those things. But then, incorporating the principles, getting up early in the morning every day, maybe dealing with Adi, Atma, Kandi, Devi, Kandi, Kodi, and the body's mind is troubling, family members are troubling, president is troubling, somebody's troubling all the time. So the good stuff we can handle, how do we prepare ourselves to handle all the rules and regulations so that we can continue on with a steady way?
Well, that's a very, very good question, and only such a question comes from an advanced devotee. And the thing is this, that we have to understand our actual position, that we're the most fallen. And so we shouldn't think, oh, why am I having difficulty following this? I'm so advanced, why am I having a problem? No. I am so fallen that it's no wonder I can't do these things. So, but let me try. Let me try my best. So we can ask Krishna or Lord Chaitanya or a Guru, Srila Prabhupada, other Vaishnavas, the Holy Name, please help me. Please help me control my mind. Because it's the mind that what you're talking about that's stopping us from really getting 100% into devotional service. So in the 6th chapter of Bhagavad Gita, Krishna addresses this problem, tells Arjuna, it's all the problem of your mind. The demons of doubt, they're in your mind. Slay the demons of doubt, control your mind. So Arjuna says, oh, Krishna, control the mind. Easy for you to say so. But for me, it's easier to control the wind than it is to control the mind. How many people agree with Arjuna? But this is, that means we're not having the same opinion as Krishna, because Krishna did not agree with Arjuna. We have to have the same opinion as Krishna. Krishna said, undoubtedly, it's not easy to control the mind, but it can be done. It can be done. And then he explains how it can be done. By detachment and suitable practice. And then in the purport, chapter 6, shloka number 35 in the purport, Prabhupada addresses these two points, the detachment and the suitable practice. Now you may be surprised to find that the suitable practice is not chanting Hare Krishna. We may think that's a suitable practice. No. Prabhupada said the suitable practice is shravanam, not kirtanam, it's shravanam. Because if your shravanam is bad, your kirtanam is going to be bad. But if your shravanam is good, your kirtanam will also be good. We have to hear from the authority, we have to hear from the acharyas, we have to hear from shastra. So shravanam is the suitable practice. And when the shravanam is good, the kirtanam is good, and then the smaranam is good. So we have Parikshit Maharaj, he attained perfection only shravanam. That's all he did. He asked a couple of questions, just sat there. Didn't do any proactive service. Just asked a few questions. Sukadeva Goswami, he attained perfection just by speaking the Bhagavatam. And Prahlad Maharaj attained perfection just by remembering Krishna. So when the Shravanam is perfect, the Kirtanam is perfect, and the Smaranam is perfect, that's it. The goal is there. We go back home, back to Godhead. We attain perfection in one of the 9 processes, the Navavidhi Bhakti. You only have to attain perfection in one of them. So I was thinking, of course, all my life I was thinking that let me attain perfection through kirtanam. Because my name Vyasaki, which is the name of Sukadeva Goswami, son of Vyasadeva, who attained perfection through kirtanam, so I was thinking, okay, Prabhupada gave me this name, I should follow that. But after studying the Gita in depth and reading that purport in shloka 6, verse number 35, the purport, then I realized that shravanam is so much emphasized by Krishna. And I was thinking, if I listened to Prabhupada chanting, to Prabhupada's classes, read Prabhupada's books, I'd be much more benefit than just doing my own kirtan. what's the value of my kirtan, a conditioned soul doing kirtan? Okay, nice try, but I mean, listening to Prabhupada, hearing Prabhupada, it's like Parikshit Maharaj hearing Sukadeva Goswami. So suitable practice, shravanam, and then detachment. And Prabhupada explains, the way we become detached from material life is to become attached to spiritual life. We become attached to everything to do with Krishna. That means attached to prasadam, attached to kirtan, attached to festivals, as well as attached to the chanting of the japa and the austerities and waking up and all that. And our duties attached. We should be attached to those things. Then we give up attachment naturally. And Prabhupada gave the example of you're holding on to some iron. Someone comes along and gives you gold. You immediately put down the iron and take the gold. Why? Because you know the value of gold. If you didn't know the value of gold, you'd say, oh, I have my iron, but what is this gold? But you know the value of gold. So similarly, once you know the value of bhakti yoga, then you give up the material ideas immediately. You have to know the value of chanting Hare Krishna, of devotional service. If you don't know the value, then you're not going to become detached from material life. You're still going to think that something nice about material life. So we have to understand the value of devotional service, the value of what Prabhupada gave us, the value of living in Brajabhumi and Sri Vrindavan Dham. It can't be underestimated. We are the most fortunate Vaishnavas in the whole world, living in Sri Vrindavan Dham. Brajabhumi, the Leela Stan, the Janmastan, everything happened here of Krishna, the Nitya Krishna Leela and the Naimittika Krishna Leela. That all happened here. So, is that okay? Any other points for discussion? Okay, so very good question. Very thoughtful question. Krishna answers this question in the Bhagavad Gita. Api chet sudaracharo bhajate mam ananya bhak. Someone's performing devotional service but then falls down to an abominable condition of life. But if he picks himself up again, sadhur eva samantavya, I will consider him still a sadhu, Krishna says. Now when I first studied Bhagavad Gita, I was thinking, and I'm sure most of you, you fall down, but in the next day or two or a week, you come back to devotional service. You carry on. Sadureva samantavya. But what I experienced, some of our God brothers fell down and left the movement for 20 years. Were in complete and utter maya. And at the end of their life, just as they were dying, devotees brought them back. And they got the mercy of Krishna. And I remember a morning walk, and Prabhupada was speaking about this. Someone asked about this shloka. So Prabhupada said, Api chet sudaracharo bhajate mam ananya bhak, that even if you fall down, even once or twice, if you get back on the path, then Krishna will forgive you. He won't see it. Just like Putna, he won't see it. He has the bright side. But if you're voluntarily committing sinful activities, not an accidental fall down, but a premeditated fall down, Prabhupada said, that is the greatest offense. So then someone asked the question, how do we know, sadhureva samantavya, that Prabhupada, that the Krishna has accepted him as a sadhu again? So Prabhupada stopped walking, and everyone with bated breath are waiting for his answer. And this is what Prabhupada said. If he comes back, the fall down was accidental. If he comes back, the fall down was accidental. And I saw amongst my godbrothers, one of them was a sannyasi, the other one was a personal servant of Prabhupada. They came back after 20 years. So Prabhupada considered it an accidental fall down. If they come back, I consider the fall down accidental. So if Prabhupada considered the fall down accidental, would Krishna consider it accidental? Well, he did. They left their bodies in an exalted state, hearing the Maha Mantra, getting the garland of the deities, hearing the chanting, getting the Maha Prasad as they left their bodies after being in total Maya for 20 years. So if he comes back, I consider the fall down as accidental. But don't take advantage of that. That is the greatest offense, Prabhupada said. Does that answer your question? So we should always see, everyone, that we're Das, 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 Anudas, and Yamaraj is the judge. I'm not the judge. I have not been given the service of judging. Yamaraj has been given the service of judging. So my position, when people fall down, I think, okay, I'm Das, 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 Anudas, I offer my respectful obeisances, let Yamaraj deal with it. Hare Krishna. So now, for the most enthusiastic part of devotional service, Mahaprasad Ki Jai. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai.